Please do take a seat and take up your Bibles. Turn to page 997, or Matthew chapter 26. We're going to be reading from verse 36. Anyone else need a Bible? As we turn there, a few hands at the back here. Anyone else? If you raise a hand, someone will bring you a Bible. One or two down here as well at the front. Oh, great. Fantastic. So as you turn there, we're going through a teaching series on prayer at the moment. And prayer is the type of subject where it raises all sorts of questions. And so there is a question box at the back. Christo, would you mind just grabbing that question box and waving it around? There it is. I think there's also going to be a thing on the screen either now or later. Here we go. In fact, if you want to take out your phones now and scan that QR code, you can. Or if you want to go old school and put a paper question in that box at any point in the next few weeks, please do ask your questions about prayer and we'll try and answer them in some way. So if there are big things that we don't cover in our sermon series, then we might do an extra sermon or two on prayer to carry on and answer some of the questions you guys have. But if there are other ways of doing it as well, so it might be on a Sunday afternoon, perhaps over lunch or over streams, we could do a Q&A session, whatever it might be. So if you've got any questions that arise about prayer, stick a question in the back, or I'll send this out on the weekly email as well, or Debbie will send this out on the weekly email, so you can do it that way too. We're going to turn now, though, to God's Word and Matthew 26. Christo is going to come, actually, and read that for us. And then we'll turn to Ephesians 6 after that. Thank you, Christo.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Reading from Matthew 26 is on page 997, Church Bibles. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face onto the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, "Are you sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Christo. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, please would you help us now? We know that we're in a spiritual battle, and we know that the devil would love to distract us or to divide us. The devil would love to cause us to think that your word doesn't really matter and it doesn't make a difference in our lives. And so we pray against that. We pray that you, by your power, would enable us to focus on what you have to say, that you would help us to meet with you through your word now. We ask that you would take what you have inspired to be written and plant it deep into our hearts so that it changes us, so that we grow in our love for you, so that we see Jesus as a glorious King and we worship him all the more. Please do this in us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Could you flick forward to Ephesians chapter 6? And when someone's got a page number for that, if you could shout it out. 1177. Thank you so much. So Ephesians 6 and verse 18 is our verse for the year. It's there up on the screen as well for you. And we're spending several weeks digging into this verse for the year. And 2 weeks ago, we were asking the question, why? Why should we pray? Why do we need to pray? Because we are in a spiritual battle, and our strength for the struggle comes from the Lord. The way that we draw on the Holy Spirit's resurrection power is through prayer. Last week, the question was, okay, where should we pray? And we saw that it's not about being in a particular physical place, but rather we pray in the Spirit, in the realm of the Spirit's activity, in the access he brings, in the power that he gives, in the light that he shines. And today's question is, okay, so when should we pray? When pray? And as with all things, our Lord Jesus, the God who is man, gives us the perfect model of what it looks like as a human being to live a life of prayer. And in the Gospels, what we see is that the Lord Jesus prays on all occasions, all sorts of occasions. So think about at his baptism, Jesus was praying when heaven opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. Before that big moment when he called his 12 apostles, Jesus spent the night praying to God. When the little children came to him, he prayed for them. After hearing about the death of John the Baptist, Jesus withdrew to pray. At the Transfiguration, Jesus was praying. When Simon Peter faced the attack of the devil, Jesus says, "I have prayed for you." In the lead up to the cross, John 17 records for us this great long prayer that Jesus prayed for us, his people. On the night he was betrayed, as we've just read, arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what has he been doing there? 3 intense, passionate sessions of prayer with blood, sweat, and tears. On the cross itself, we hear him crying out to his Father in heaven. And these selected situations are not out of the ordinary for Jesus. Luke 5, verse 16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Mark 1, verse 35, he prays early in the morning. Matthew 14, verse 23, he prays late at night. Our Lord Jesus prayed on all occasions. And because Jesus died on the cross in the place of sinful people like you and me, because Jesus rose again and ascended into heaven and sent his Holy Spirit, so can we. We too can pray on all occasions. I hope we're going to see today that is an awesome privilege for us to be able to have. And let me ask you as we begin, is that a privilege that you know for yourself? If you are not yet on speaking terms with God, if you don't know the kind of relationship where you can talk to him as a father, please don't try to make your own connection with God. There is only one way for God to become our father, and that is by trusting in Jesus to forgive us for our sins. It will be no good for us to try and follow the model of Jesus or some other kind of holy people that we know and just try and be prayerful like them. That is absolutely pointless if we don't first have Jesus as our Saviour. Without the forgiveness of sins, talking to God is not possible. But, and here's the great thing, brothers and sisters, if you are a child of God, if our sins are forgiven, then as children of God, we have the most awesome privilege. We can come to God not just occasionally, but on all occasions. There is no occasion where we cannot pray. When should we pray? Well, the invitation and the command from our verse for the year is to pray on all occasions. Now, my guess is that for most of us, it would be more accurate to say that we pray on some occasions. Anyone agree with that?
Yeah.
Maybe we say, well, I pray when I have the time to. Or I pray, often actually I pray when I need something, you know, when maybe I'm sick, or maybe I've got something coming up, like an exam or an appraisal. I pray when I'm in church, because then I'm sort of reminded to do so. I pray when I remember. I pray on some occasions. Have a think about what it is for you. Actually, you can have 30 seconds to say to the person next to you, when is the season when you are most likely to pray? Talk to the person next to you for 30 seconds. Okay, that'll do. Would you agree, having spoken about it for a few seconds there, would you agree that for most of us, actually, we're probably more likely to pray on some occasions? Would you agree? Yeah? And it's a good thing to pray on those occasions. Of course it is, because those occasions are included in all occasions. But what Paul seems to have in mind here is a much more of a comprehensive, a constant, regular habit, a pattern of prayer which encompasses all of life, all moments of life. And this is something that Paul himself lived out. Before he encourages others to pray on all occasions, this is something that he himself did. So in chapter 1, verse 16, we see there, Paul says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. And so he can then encourage them in chapter 5, verse 20, to be always giving thanks. In chapter 1, verse 17, Paul says, I keep asking something for you. Verse 18, I'm praying for you. Chapter 3, verse 14, I kneel before the Father. Verse 16, I pray for you. Verse 17, I pray for you. And that's why he's not a hypocrite when he says in chapter 6, verse 18, always keep on praying. Paul took full advantage of this undeserved relationship with God that we can enjoy through Jesus. He prayed on all occasions. He knew from first-hand experience just what a joyful and powerful thing that is. And so he encourages us to do the same. And to pray on all occasions means to pray in all seasons. We all go through different times in our lives. We sort of sung about that earlier, didn't we? Blessed be your name, when the sun's shining down on me, and when things are going wrong as well. So there are times and seasons in our lives, and the phrase that's used here has this kind of thing in view. Now, we're going to do some work on ancient Greek right now, okay? So focus your minds, focus your brains, and let's try and understand what's going on here, okay? As you might know, this part of the Bible is originally written in Greek. And this phrase, on all occasions, is a translation of two Greek words. So there's the first word is a version of the word pan, which means all. So we kind of use that today, don't we? We might say something is pan-African, for example, which means it's across all of Africa, right? So pan, meaning all. And the second word is a Greek word for time. So literally, the phrase is at all times, pray at all times. But here's where it gets complicated, because the ancient Greeks actually used two different words for time. The first is the word chronos, which is about the passage of time. So the type of time that you measure on a watch, a specific amount of time, like an hour, or a day. What time is it? It's 3 o'clock. That's the kind of chronos type of time. But there's a second word, kairos, and this is more about the time for something, like the fitting time, the appointed time. So for example, we might say it's harvest time, which means it is time for harvest. So it's not about a clock. It's not you're not saying that it's like 3 o'clock, therefore it's the time for harvest. You're saying it's the right time for something. Does that make sense? Yeah. Or like another example would be maybe a bouncer getting rid of an unruly customer, and they might say, I think it's time for you to leave. They're not saying, look at my watch, it's 9:15, that's your curfew. They're saying, I think it's getting to the point, it's getting to the situation where this is the right thing for you to do. So a bit like in Ecclesiastes, where it talks about, you know, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to weep, a time to laugh. It's that kind of thing. That kind of time. It's not, you're not checking your watch to say, is it time for me to weep yet? It's a sense of, well, there is a fitting season for everything. And it's this second word that is used here in Ephesians 6. So when Paul says, pray at all times, he's not so much saying pray at all of the times around the clock. He's rather saying pray at all times of life. It could be translated pray in every season. Those different times of life that we experience, prayer is for all of them. So prayer is an all seasons piece of equipment. It's a bit like this sleeping bag. Actually, it's not like this sleeping bag, because technically this is only a three season sleeping bag. So there is one season in the year, presumably winter, where this bag is not going to be fit for purpose. It will leave you shivering and cold. But I think you can get sleeping bags that are all season sleeping bags. And whether it is bright and warm or whether it is cold and dark, this piece of gear is fit for purpose. And so it is with prayer. There is no season of life where we can just sort of, this sleeping bag in winter, you can just pack it away because you're not going to need it. But there's no season in life where we can pack prayer away in a cupboard because it's not necessary, or it's not up to the job. There is no storm in life in which prayer is going to leave us exposed. There is no season where prayer is an unnecessary piece of kit for your bag. There's no warning on the label of prayer which says ineffective in these. Yeah, here we go. In fact, this actually does say it. It says it can. The -4 is the limit. Okay, -4 degrees is the limit for this sleeping bag. But there is no season in life where the label says prayer is ineffective under these circumstances. Prayer is good most of the time, but here it doesn't really work. No, prayer is for all seasons. Whether it is bright and warm or cold and dark, prayer is fit for purpose. And again, this is something that Paul knew from experience. He was a seasoned prayer in all seasons. You can read about it in the book of Acts. When he first met the Lord Jesus, do you remember he saw that blinding vision of Jesus on the road to Damascus? He's blinded by the glory of the Lord, and he finds himself alone, or not alone actually, but he finds himself in a house, unable to see. He's in this season of being greatly convicted of his sin. What is he doing? He's praying. Then in the early church, the Holy Spirit sets Paul and Barnabas apart to go on a missionary journey. So in this season of new opportunity, this season of excitement, we read that they fasted and they prayed. When they appoint elders in Antioch, in a season of significant spiritual work, they fast and they pray. And then Paul is thrown into prison. He's stripped, he's beaten, he's flogged, he's placed in an inner cell, his feet are fastened in the stocks. He's in a season of pain, a season of struggle, and he prays. Paul had planted this church in Ephesus that he's now writing to. And when he's leaving the leaders for the last time, saying goodbye, knowing that he would never see them again, it's a season of grief, a season of sadness. And what do? They kneel on the beach and they pray. Stuck in a storm on a ship to Rome, in a season of danger, Paul leads the crew in thanks to God. When suffering with what he describes as a thorn in the flesh, in a season of perhaps it's physical sickness or certainly spiritual struggle, he pleads with the Lord. Whether it is bright and warm, whether it is cold and dark, prayer is for all seasons. Think again of the pattern of our Lord Jesus. In seasons of joy and growth and gospel opportunity, he prayed. in seasons of trial and temptation, in the face of sin and sickness and Satan. He prayed. When it is bright and warm, when it is cold and dark, prayer is for all seasons. My sister, my brother, do you pray in all seasons? In seasons of grief, we can feel so low, and God can feel so far away. We don't know what to say. We're not even sure if he'll understand how we feel. My grieving friend, please be assured that prayer is for all seasons. Come to him with any words that you can muster. And even if there aren't words and all you can do is groan, that's okay as well. He loves to hear your voice. In seasons of rest, we can get out of our normal routines and we act as if on holiday we don't need God. My resting friend, prayer is for all seasons. Rest in him. In seasons of temptation, we can feel really ashamed and irritated at ourselves. And we sort of imagine that it's up to us to resist the devil in our own strength. But my tempted friend, how are you going to fight a supernatural enemy without supernatural power? Lean on him in temptation. In those moments where you are tempted and it feels really grotty, that is the moment where you can run to Jesus. In seasons of sin, we're even more ashamed and we think, how can I come to God after all that I've done, all that I've said, all that I've thought? And so perhaps we stay away. We refuse to enjoy the bittersweet gift of confession. We hold on to our guilt and we keep walking in sin without that fresh assurance of forgiveness that comes as we come to him. My sinning friend, prayer is for all seasons. You can come not because you deserve it, but because Jesus has paid for all of that sin. So open up the way, receive his grace. Come to him with confidence and repentance. In seasons of flourishing, in seasons of joy, we can so quickly become self-reliant. And when we don't feel that we need God, it stops us coming to him, forgetting that every good gift comes from our loving Father in heaven. My flourishing friend, prayer is for all seasons. Come and thank him for what you have. In seasons of suffering, it can feel like prayer is ineffective, like God is not really hearing, or if he hears, he doesn't really care. And so we give up and we stay away, and perhaps we don't even want to pray. Suffering friends, prayer is for all seasons. As you come in the name of Jesus, you can be sure that he does hear and he does care. And our loving Father may not immediately answer prayers in the way that we would like, but he will always give us what is good, and he delights to use our prayers in suffering to do us eternal good, to form us into the image of his Son. He gently uses our circumstances to reshape our prayers so that they are in line with his will, and we can be sure he will answer those prayers. Keep coming to him, keep clinging to him. Even when all you've got is questions, come to him with your hows and your whys and your woes. What season of life are you in? Don't answer that one out loud, but think for a moment. Are you in a season of trial? A season of mental health struggles? A season of excitement? A season of decisions? A season of opportunity, a season of discouragement, a season of shame, a season of spiritual attack, a season of tiredness, a season of growth, a season of, what is it for you? Actually, whatever season you are in, prayer is for all of those seasons, whether it is bright and warm, or cold and dark, or somewhere in between. Prayer is for all seasons. Let us not sin by staying away. No matter what is going on, we can come to him. No matter what is going on, we need to come to him. Prayer is for all seasons. And to pray on all occasions also means to pray in all situations. So not just the kind of big seasons that we're in, but actually all of the individual situations that we find ourselves in, whenever there is opportunity for prayer. So remember again this phrase, at all times, and how this word kairos has the sense of being the fit time, an opportune moment, a God-given moment, a time that God has appointed for something. So for example, this word kairos is the word that Jesus uses in John chapter 7, verse 6, where he says, my time is not yet here. It is not yet the fitting moment for Jesus to show himself to the world in the way that his brothers wanted him to. The God-given time had not yet come. And that's the sense of this word, kairos. And so to pray at all times means to pray whenever there is occasion for prayer. Does this make sense? Whenever there is a moment that is fit for prayer. Whenever you could say the time is right to pray. To pray at all times is to pray in any and every situation where there is opportunity and need to pray. Let me say that again. I feel very warm in here. I don't know if you do as well. But if you want to take your coat off at this point, that might be good to keep concentrating on God's word. Let's focus back in for this second part. It's a shorter part. We're almost there. But let's focus in, because I think this is a really crucial part of what it means to pray at all times. So let me say that again. To pray at all times is to pray in any and every situation where there is the opportunity and need to pray. So what's in view here is the type of life where prayer is the spirit-prompted response to any situation that we come across. We used to laugh, us as children, used to laugh at my mum. Which is not a very nice thing to do, actually. Shouldn't laugh at your mum. But we used to laugh at her because when she moved into a new house, she had quite a lot of trouble finding the right bin for her kitchen. And there was one point where she said, look, I've taken that bin back to the shop. I just need to pray about it for a bit longer. And we used to laugh at her because she was praying about bins. But actually, in retrospect, I'm not sure it was such a silly thing. It's a small thing for sure, but to seek the Lord's guidance for how to use our resources, even in the small decisions. When I was first considering the call of the Lord to come to Enfield to serve as an assistant pastor at Enfield Town Church, I had a phone call with Nathan Howard. Nathan was the pastor who planted this church, Silver Street. He's now the pastor up at Enfield Town Community Church. And something that really stuck with me from that conversation was, we had a chat about it, and then at the end he said, shall we pray about that now? And he prayed on the phone. And I don't think I'd never even considered that before. I don't think anyone had done that with me before. I thought, what a good idea. It's a habit that I've tried to keep as well. Wouldn't it be great if it became more and more natural for us to pray whenever the opportunity arises, whether it be on the phone, or perhaps we're spending some time, spending an evening with other Christians, pray. Or maybe you're talking with someone after church or over lunch. Let's pray about that right now. Why not? To pray on all occasions means to pray in every situation where that's the thing to do, whenever the opportunity arises. Just like our Lord Jesus, as we heard at the beginning, all of those big moments of life that he faced, he spent proper time in prayer. Whenever we are facing a situation, brothers and sisters, let us pray about it. And it's not just the big things either. Praying on all occasions includes the small things too. I find it a helpful image to think of it like a gaming headset. Now, I've never actually used a gaming headset as far as I can remember because I don't have any friends. But I can't hear anything with these on. That's lovely. They're noise cancelling. So as I understand it, what you do with a gaming headset is you can be playing a game online with your friends, and you've always got this open line of communication with them. So you can hear what they're saying, and you can speak to them through this little microphone. And you might not be, as I understand it, you might not be literally talking all of the time, but that conversation is sort of always open. So whenever there's an occasion to do so, you can just sort of speak. It's already open. So you might say you're playing a game and you're like, oh, did you see that this just happened? Or, oh, that was a great piece of move thing that you did. Well done. Or, oh, I need some help over here. Could you come and give me some help? Is that how it works, sort of? Thank you. You're very gracious, boys. A gaming headset. You've always got that open line of communication with your friends. And the wonderful thing, the huge privilege that children of God have, is that we have that same sort of open channel with the God of the universe. If our identity as children of God depended on our performance, then our access to him would dip in and out depending on how we're doing. But it doesn't depend on us. Our access to God has been won for us through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. He's washed us clean. He's made us sons and daughters. And by faith in Jesus, we then are united to Christ. Our union with Christ means that we have that permanent status as children of God. And therefore, the line is always open. Because of our union with Christ, we always have the opportunity to share communion with God. I think this is part of what it means, actually, to pray in the Spirit. To have that line of communication constantly open, to be living in the presence of the Spirit, involving the Lord in conversation whenever the opportunity and the need arises. Did you see what just happened? Let me talk to you about that. That was an amazing thing that you did. Thank you. I need some help. Can you come and help me with this? Here's what that might look like in practice. It might mean you wake up, and as you open your eyes, you give thanks to the Lord that his mercies are new every morning, and you just say, Lord, please give me the strength for the day ahead. As you pour your cereal, you thank God for the food that he provides. Perhaps you pray for those who are less fortunate. Maybe you've woken up and a part of your body is feeling quite sore, and so you pray for some relief, some healing. You pray for patience, and perhaps it reminds you to pray for those who are suffering chronic conditions. You step into the shower. Oh, and it's warm. Thank you, Lord, for warm water. You sit down with your Bible and you ask for God's help to understand his word. And then you respond to what you read in prayer and praise. You step out of the house into a beautiful, bright morning and you praise God for the lovely blue sky and the beautiful frost. You see a school kid littering and it causes you to pray for them and their family. A message pops up on your phone. You think, oh, I've been invited to do something. Lord, what would be the right way to respond to this? You see an ambulance drive past and you pray for the person that they're going to. Perhaps you have a difficult interaction with someone and it's stressing on your chest and you bring it before the Lord. Maybe there's a difficult task that you need to do that day and so you commit it to him at the beginning of a day. And as you do so, you realise that, oh, I was quite grumpy with that person this morning. And so you come and you confess your sin. You see someone you recognise walk past, perhaps it's one of your neighbours, and you quickly offer up a prayer for that person to be saved. And by this point, by the way, you've only just left the house. I'm not saying that every day is going to be like this all of the time. And I'm not saying that we should feel guilty if it isn't. But wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be wonderful if that was more and more our experience? Of course, praying on all occasions means there will be fitting times to wrestle in prayer, to have extended and focused times of prayers, just like Jesus. But the joy of praying on all occasions is it's also this conversational type of thing. And this is how we pray without ceasing, as we speak to the Lord in any and every situation that arises. There is no situation too big and no situation too small to bring before the throne of grace. Isn't that good? Because of all that Jesus has done, this is the kind of relationship that is ours to enjoy. How astonishing. What a gift that we can pray on all occasions. It doesn't take a mat and a compass. You don't need a temple and a priest. We're not limited to five times a day, and we're not restricted to set topics and words. We can pray and we need to pray on all occasions, just like Jesus did. And actually, as we close, the great thing about Jesus' prayer life is that it hasn't finished. Our great high priest died and rose again, And the Bible says, ever lives to intercede for us. Right now, Jesus stands in heaven with his arms up, interceding on behalf of his people. And brothers and sisters, that means that our salvation is certain. We have an advocate. And all the while that Jesus is standing there, we have an open line to heaven. Jesus is still praying on all occasions, and so can we. Sometimes we think that prayer is a difficult duty, like something we have to do as Christians. Isn't it a privilege? What an awesome thing that we've been invited into a continual conversation. Whatever season of life you're in, whatever particular situation you're in, you can pray. And so, children of God, let us pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And this is an occasion right now, so I guess we better pray, shall we? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this wonderful privilege that we have. And forgive us, Lord, for the times where we see prayer all wrong and we think of it as something we have to do to initiate with you, and otherwise we're in your bad books or something like that. Lord, help us to see what a privilege it is. Help us to understand that the access that has been won to us through Jesus and his blood shed on the cross means that we have a relationship with God which is unparalleled and a great joy. Help us, Lord, to grow in these things, that we would, in every season of life, come to you. When faced with any decision, we would come to you. And even that kind of continual conversation throughout any given day, would we have that open line of communication with you, our loving Heavenly Father. We long to live in your presence. We long to know the reality of our relationship with you. And so help us to call on your name on all occasions. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's sing one more time as we close. This is a wonderful truth that because of what Jesus has done, we are never alone. We have this continual relationship with our God through Jesus' blood shed on the cross. Let's stand, let's lift our voices. Jesus. Amen. Please do take a seat. Thank you for coming today, and thank you for concentrating through the warmth. I feel warm anyway, maybe it's just me. But thank you for that, and you're very welcome to stay for lunch. We have lunch after the service today. Everyone is welcome to join us. And this afternoon, we've got an opportunity for us to be able to grow together as we learn from Jesus together and enjoy Jesus together. So there'll be some time after lunch set aside for us individually or like in groups of two or three to go off and to share what the Lord has been teaching us through the Word recently, maybe to read a bit of Bible together, to spend some time praying. You don't have to have any particular... You haven't had to have prepared in advance or have any particular skills. It's just a chance for us to sit under God's word together and say, how can we encourage one another in that? Please do stick around for that. It will really help you to grow in your love for the Lord and your love for the other people in the church family. So I'd really recommend that to you. If you've not already joined up with someone to do that this afternoon and you'd like to sit and read with someone or join someone else's group, come and talk to me or... someone else that you know, and I'm sure we can organise that. It would be great to have you stay this afternoon from about 2 o'clock. If you have to go away and can't stay for lunch, come back for two and join us. It will do you good. And next Sunday, we've got the second part in what was a really helpful session, I think, last year, how the prosperity gospel leaves you poor. I think probably quite a lot of us in the church family are influenced in one way or another by what's known as the prosperity gospel. But the thing is, it's often quite subtle and hard to spot, and it's a really, really dangerous type of teaching. So if you ever kind of come across stuff online or on TV or on radio, then you may have come across this and you're not even aware of it. And so this session will follow on from where we left off last time, trying to identify how we can spot the error of the prosperity gospel, why it is so dangerous, and how we can see that it's wrong and therefore avoid it. So again, I really would recommend staying around next Sunday after lunch, 2 to 3pm, for how the prosperity gospel leaves you poor. It'll be an interactive thing. We'll watch some stuff, we'll read some stuff, we'll discuss some stuff. You don't just have to sit and listen to me drone on forever. It should be a really helpful session. The week after that, Jodie, do you want to come and tell us about the safeguarding training? I don't think I've got a slide for it.
I didn't check the dates.
I think it's next, two weeks from now. So whatever, the 5th of February or something.
Hello, sleeping bag is annoying, isn't it? I'm Jodie. I'm on the safeguarding team here at Silver Street. One thing to let you know is that Debbie has also joined the safeguarding team. Debbie, can just do a big old wave. Big wave, Debbie, that's a little wave, yeah? So now the team is Debbie, myself, and Luke. So don't forget that if you have any concerns about the safety of one of our children or vulnerable adults or anything you're worried about in church, you can come and speak to one of us. We have an email address, if that's easier, which is on the posters by the boards before you go out, on the backs of all the toilets. Our numbers are on there. Debbie's number will be on there very soon, so don't forget about that. But the important thing I'm here to tell you today is for anyone that does children's work here at Silver Street, it is a legal requirement that you have yearly training. And believe it or not, it's been a year since last time we did the Saturday morning training that loads of you came to, and was really helpful that so many of you came. So if you do children's work on the 4th, Sunday the 4th of February, and Sunday the 18th of February, we have a stream session which is a safeguarding update. So it's only an hour, because last time we did all morning, it's just an hour, it's an update. Both sessions will be the same, so you don't have to come to both of them, just make sure you can come to one of them. If you really can't make it to one, please let me know. If you don't do children's work here at Silver Street, you're still welcome to come, and it would actually be really helpful if you came to one of those sessions. The more of us that know about how we can look after each other well, the better.
Thank you very much. Just to underline that it is a legal requirement, so it is compulsory for those who are involved in children's youth work. When you signed up, I think you signed up to say you're happy to do the regular training, so please do come along for that. Otherwise, we can't look after people well. A couple more things. On Tuesday at small groups, we're going to be digging into more of what we... I've lost my clicker, sorry. There you go, small groups, thank you. Digging into more of what we've been talking about today, thinking about how that works out for us and how we can encourage one another in these things. And then the last two things to say is that if you are new or nearly new and you've not yet filled in one of our kind of visitors cards, there's a bunch of these at the back. Please do so if you feel able. Pop it in the box labelled gifts and we'll get in touch and welcome you to church properly. And then lastly, to remind you that if you have any questions about prayer, there is a box there at the back. And perhaps we can leave this screen up for a little while after the service. So any questions from today or anything about prayer in general that you'd love to ask, you can do so anonymously here or you can put your name. That's even more helpful. So scan this code or put something in the box at the back and we'll try and answer them when we can. I think that is us. Thank you for coming today. Lovely to see you. Hopefully you can stick around for a bit and we'll say hi.